Showtime.
Hello, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship, in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing today?
Hey, bud. I'm pretty good. It's Festival of the Arts. We are...
I like to call it Farts.
Yeah, Farts. It's Farts 2017. We are live from Grand Rapids. We were downtown, but there were too many people. So now we're in beautiful scenic lookout park.
Looking out over
a
baseball field.
There are not anywhere near as many people, but there is a very nice view.
We can see the river. We can see a baseball park. We can see an apartment complex.
There's like a nice looking little cathedral over there.
Yeah. Looks very Americana. No, you don't get that
it's
when you're...
It's like a Rockwell painting.
It's really, it's
and
like
by Rockwell, I mean the artist that did the song Always Feels Like Someone's Watching, or Somebody's Watching Me, or whatever.
Yeah, from the Geico commercial.
Yeah.
When I look over a valley in America, I'm like, this is just like Geico. So, Thomas, here's another question for you. Can you hear that person in the background playing something?
Hell yeah.
Did you watch the challenge Champs vs. Pros last night? Back hurt dirty, STL dirty. I'm like Magic to Kareem, man. You tell me I ain't worthy. I ain't speaking about a jersey, I'm speaking about income. Did you hear that, Elizabeth? Here come the big one! I did. this week's episode was called Watch Out for the Wolf Pack. I think it's a pretty good episode title.
It's a pretty good episode title. I wish that they had bought the rights to the NWO Wolfpack theme for this.
Who's to say that we can't use it?
That's a good point. Yeah. It should be playing right now
underneath
this.
It should
this.
Be playing underneath us. I'm going to edit this in a
Wolfpack
car.
Wolfpack is back causing mass destruction.
All right. So, everybody in the house agrees that Lolo Jones is the strongest person in the house. But... your Louise Basil is not interested in her drama.
Yeah, because she's really annoying and gets in fights with everyone for no reason, so...
Yeah, she seems aggressive. It's weird, because I always think of her as a track star, and I'm like, also, she does bobsledding. But neither of those are, like, combat sports. Or
no.
Contact sports.
She's just hyper-competitive.
Yeah, that's fair. Probably because she hasn't had sex ever. So she probably is, like, has a lot of pent-up rage.
That could be it.
Well, you know, maybe she and Jordan can... Remember in the first episode when they were like, what if this happened? And then they've never addressed it since? Like, it'd be better
if
we just made her a villain.
Yeah.
It's fine. So we get straight into the challenge. Here's the issue. I mean, we talk about this all the time. The issue with covering the challenge is the show is called The Challenge, but then there are also challenges called The Challenge.
Yep.
Within the show, so it's kind of confusing.
Get your story straight, MTV.
Yeah. So one person from each team grabs an end of a pole and then has to shove the other person off of a platform. This game was previously played in the Gauntlet 3. Gus says he feels pretty good about the pros taking this, but he does not say that he is confident.
Yeah.
It's fairly important.
You gotta hedge it. Also, this isn't Survivor, so.
Yeah, so who knows if that counts. Lindsay is the captain of the pros team. Ashley M is the captain for the champs team. Lolo thinks that Lindsay should take on Kara because she's the captain. I didn't understand this logic.
This doesn't make any sense. You want to... If you've got someone that can beat Kara, and preferably you would put them up against
It's a team sport.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I think the strongest person should take on the strongest
also,
person.
Also, Lolo, if you wanted to decide this, why didn't you volunteer to be captain of the team?
Yeah, because I think she just more likes to complain when she doesn't get her way.
Yeah.
But yeah, why didn't... it's totally possible. It wasn't like Lindsay was like, I refuse to play this if I'm not the captain.
Yeah.
She was like, I guess I'll do it.
I'm going to go home if I don't get to be captain.
If I don't potentially nominate myself for elimination, I'm leaving this show for
She's
good.
She's like the kid playing tag that can never be it, and immediately changes the rules regarding anything that she does.
When was the last time you played tag?
15 years ago.
Right? I haven't thought about that in a long time. We should get a big tag game going.
No.
You don't want that?
No, I'm not interested.
I think it's pretty fun, because it's just like a lot of people running around a field, and then you tag each other, That's how you become it.
I wasn't familiar with the rules.
It's a pretty good game. We're going to cover that when we're done with Champs vs. Pros. Professional yeah. tag.
If they're a man, if there's professional, they should have for a challenge on this challenge. They should have them play tag.
That's a really great idea. I would watch that. I would watch, what if the next challenge...
Duck, duck, goose.
What if the next challenge is the challenge 30? Tag! It's just like... 30 people come on and play tag.
There should be a season of the challenge where all of the challenges are like schoolyard games.
That's a great idea.
So yeah, you do like duck, duck, goose.
They come on and it's a schoolyard pick. Like you pull for captains and then... That's a great idea.
You play like Foursquare for one of them.
Yeah, kickball for one of them. Freeze tag, TV tag.
I like...
hide and seek.
Speaking of...
capture the flag.
I wish I could still find this on YouTube because it was fucking amazing. But this guy that I worked with, this is a while ago now, but who was one of the chefs at this country club that I worked, that I washed dishes at, was really into Foursquare and was in like an adult Foursquare league. And he had like a YouTube mixtape of him playing it.
Wait,
which was
what?
Yeah, you know, like how there'll be like basketball like highlight mixtapes and stuff like that.
Like a highlight reel?
Yeah, he had.
This is incredible.
He had that, but for him playing Foursquare, and it was hilarious, but also impressive. Like, it was one of those things where I was like, this is so dumb, but also he's incredible at Foursquare.
Is an adult Foursquare, like, I don't know, court larger than...
I think it's the same size. I think there's just a standard regulation size.
I can reach, like, my gate would... cover an entire square in Foursquare without any issue.
But it would just be like him just wearing cut-off jean shorts and nothing else playing. And he was like super ripped, too.
That's the professional
uniform.
It was
so weird. It would just be him making like incredible shots. I really want diving you. Around and I was like, whoa.
I really want you to find that video.
I gotta ask Sam about it because Sam and I worked with him and Sam was the one that showed it to me initially, but God, it was incredible.
Sam, if you're listening to this,
we need Cody's mixtape. I need it very badly.
I really like the idea of kickball. Not kickball. What is it called? Foursquare?
Foursquare.
But I never understood... I never had a grasp of the rules. So I tried to avoid playing it at all costs.
I played it for a little while, but I don't even remember the rules anymore. I remember the cherry bombs being a thing.
By the Runaways.
Yeah, by the Runaways. I don't remember exactly what it was, other than that you had to sing the entirety of Cherry Bomb by the Runaways.
It was an elimination game. Whoever quit, it was just you had to sing it on a loop.
Yeah.
And whoever quit.
Well, yeah, and if you miss any of the lyrics, like if you don't know what they are.
Yeah, you have to leave the square.
It's perfect for kids, because, like 8 and 9 year olds in the late 90s and early 2000s definitely know
all
like
the
late 70s one hit wonder punk bands.
Do you think kids still play Foursquare? I bet they do.
No,
I don't
all,
think kids
no,
games
man,
really
they're
change.
All too busy on their phones.
Or the
they're
fidget
just,
spinners,
just
you
know, all
am
with
I
the
right?
fidget spinners and the phones.
The phone jet spinners.
Back in my day we had that's the next step. But back in my day we had a little something called imagination and I feel like that's lost on
sometimes
current generation.
Sometimes we would make a game up called 16 Square, which was 4 Square 4 times. It would be teams of 4 instead of teams of 2.
That's, by the way, my new book of poetry that's coming out, because I just realized that rhymed. That's going to, from the main poem in it is, back in my day, we had a little something called imagination. That's something that's lost on this generation.
Yeah, I think that's a really good title for a book. Where were we? The first matchup is Cam versus Wes. The captains get to decide who goes up against who, and they alternate. It's real fun. And Wes says that he's confident about this matchup until he actually has to face Cam, like face to face.
Yeah, because Wes was like, "I want Cam," because he was like, "I'm probably gonna lose anyway, so let's go." And then he sees him, and it's like, "Oh yeah, Cam's enormous."
Yeah, Cam is 6'4", 258 pounds. And then CM Punk faced off against CT because their names are somewhat similar.
Yeah, it was like CM versus CT, which was like, I mean, I guess it makes sense.
As far as nicknames or like things for CM Punk go, it's better than CM Bitch.
Yeah, oh my God. Because I think ideally, like if you had the matchups you wanted, you would have Cam versus CT.
Right.
But I think Punk's, because Sean got out last week, Punk's the next strongest guy that you have. but he's just not as big as CT, so.
Yeah.
I think also, part of it, he slimmed down a little bit for MMA. I think if he was in, like, his, like, he was as bulky as he was while he was wrestling, he might have been able to pull it off.
I don't know.
Like, CT's enormous, though, is the problem.
CT is huge. As Victor Cruz said, MMA fighter versus just a really big dude.
Yep.
I thought that was a good quote. Louise Basil says, at first glance, CT looks like a Picasso painting until you look a little deeper and see the artistry. So, you know, Lolo and Jordan, so 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it's all about Louise and CT. You got some competition with CT, Thomas.
No.
Gotta...
Louise has to marry me, so it's not going to happen.
Well, you know, once we get her, catch her attention trying to get her on Survivor, then she'll be like, you know what's next? I should marry somebody from a Survivor fan cast. That's the next logical step in this. So Tia and Camilla face off, and it's pretty evenly matched. But Tia wins, and the pros call her Sour Patch because she seems sweet, but then packs a punch.
Yeah, she gets tough when...
She, like, cuts off your hair, but then, like, while you're sleeping, but then, like, dyes your hair a cool color or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember the commercial very well.
Yeah, it's like, first they're sour, then they're sweet. So, actually, Sour Patch, I mean, like, I still like that nickname, but they've got the order wrong there.
It's a better nickname than Hip Hip Rose. It's Sour Patch backwards.
Oh. Wondering where that came from.
This episode was directed by by David Lynch.
I thought maybe he had a stroke there.
Almost. So the pros win. You could have expected
pretty
that.
Handily. Yeah, the only is it Daryl or Darrell? Is it Darrell?
Darrell. Yeah.
Darrell beat the snowboarder or whatever.
Gus.
Yeah, which Gus actually put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah.
He just didn't beat him, but yeah, those. CT beat CM Punk, and Darrell beat Gus, and that was it. Everybody else got beaten pretty easily by the pros.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I would have guessed that those two would have won for the champs team. That's it. Pros won. Good job. excuse me. So then they deliberate about nominations for elimination. Lolo complains about always being on the pressure cooker, and then she tells Tia that it's time to prove herself. And Louise says, I'm not going to let Lolo run the show. And then they get in an argument, Lolo and Louise. And Punk says, it's almost as if you two should have a competition to see who's right. And then everyone laughs, but it's like, that's a good suggestion.
Yep. I like Punk in like the group settings, because he's just kind of chilling, but he'll occasionally like step in.
Well, he always said that his strength, or rather weakness, in WWE was his mouth.
Yep.
And he seems to be able to use that in the group setting.
Yep.
So that's good. I like that. Nominations, Ashley M. is automatically in again. The votes for the champs come to a tie between Ashley K. and Cara Maria because Wes convinces Camilla to burn a vote on herself. Great move by Wes, I think.
Man, I like that Wes was just purposely trying to get it tied so he could see what would happen.
Yeah, she's like,
it's a very Wes thing to do. Like, I want to see what they do.
This influences my game next to none.
Yep, yeah, not
but
at all.
Let's just see what happens. It goes to a tie, and then they're all like, what's going to happen? And Victor Cruz kind of like rubs his hands together like he's going to do something super dramatic, and then he's like, Ashley M gets to pick. He's like, oh, well, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So she picks Ashley K, which I gotta say, I appreciate that, because then there's only one Ashley on the show anymore. And
there can be only one Ashley.
Yes.
Which actually, I was a little bummed about, just because I kind of like both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I like Ashley K a little more than Ashley M, but...
That's fair.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't use Ashley K very much. Granted, she was eliminated, like, first last... challenge, and it was her first one back after winning Battle of the Seasons like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. I think she's coming back into the group, though, you know.
I wonder how long after the what is it, the most recent one they did before this?
Invasion of the Champions. Yeah.
Because, like, one of the things that happened was Ashley K used her money to get breast implants.
Ashley M.
Yeah.
And I think Banana said that happened 2 weeks ago. So unless she, like, left Thailand, immediately got breast implants, and then 2 weeks later it was
went
on
over
the show.
There. Yeah.
I would say it wasn't more than a month or two.
Yeah. I thought it was funny, because when they were... I don't think we mentioned this the other week, but when they were getting wrapped up for the
hot dog challenge.
The hot dog challenge.
Yeah.
She was like, it's killing my new boobs.
Yeah, really good. Oh my god, look at that dog over there. Okay, there's a big fluffy white dog walking past, and his tongue is out, and he's wagging his tail a lot. And then also there's a dude with some wearing flag shorts, which I like less.
The dog loves to be at the park.
Yeah. It's a good dog.
Very good dog.
I like that dog. So Lindsay gets the pick first for the pros because she won. She was the winning champion. She was the winning captain, excuse me. She picks Lolo, of course. Always on the pressure cooker. Always on the pressure cookie.
Yeah.
And Punk says he wants to also force a tie so that Lolo will have to choose who her opponent is. And it does come to a tie. And Lolo asks for Wes's opinion because he's the smartest person in the house. And Wes says, as the smartest person in the house, I'm choosing to stay out of it.
Yeah.
Smart. Another smart move by Wesley Bergman. I think that's his name. So Lolo picks Pia. And then elsewhere in the house after nominations, Ashley M gives Lolo some encouraging words. It's real sweet.
Also,
nice to see him bond.
This is not as an insult to Wes. Don't think he's the smartest person in the house.
Who's the smartest person in the house?
Probably Louise.
Louise Hazel.
Yeah.
Louise Basil.
Louise Basil. Her punk.
I suppose you could be right, but consider this. Lolo Jones said that he was the smartest person in the house, so...
Lolo Jones definitely knows about that.
I think she knows what she's talking about intelligence. Hey, Thomas. You want to talk about these wildlife shots?
Sure.
Okay, so there was one. Some birds. Could not tell what kind of birds they were. But I thought, there's always these silhouette shots of birds. Let's just look up birds. So I looked up birds. You know, they're a subgroup of reptiles and the last living examples of dinosaurs.
Yes, I did know that.
Did you know that they can be found worldwide, all 7 continents? They're really the pit bull of animals.
Yeah. I did know that they were everywhere. Because in Antarctica, there are penguins.
Yes. There's also penguins on South America.
Good.
And maybe Australia? Probably Russia.
Penguins are cool.
Penguins are cool. We can all agree. They have a poor sense of smell, with the exception of kiwis, New World vultures, and tube-nosed birds.
It makes sense that vultures would have a good sense of smell, because they gotta smell all the, recently dead stuff they have to go eat.
Yes. I thought the same thing. Here's a fun fact about birds. Some birds have a spur on their wings that they can use as a weapon.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Like in Manu Ginobili, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know why he was the first spur I could think of.
Tony Parker.
Wait. Huh?
Tim Toucan.
Tim Toucan. Yeah, there we go. Birds have, rather than X and Y chromosomes like mammals have, they have Z and W chromosomes. I don't know what that means. I didn't look that far into it. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, that's, for sure.
That's some facts about birds. The end. Huh? Alright, let's get into this elimination. It's like basketball. There's a barrel in the center of the ring, and they have to get a ball in to the barrel.
Yeah, I guess they made it a little harder this time because the balls are medicine balls, so they're a little heavier.
Yeah, and the barrel is higher.
Yeah.
And the ring that they have to stay in is smaller.
So, I thought this is an interesting challenge. Obviously, I'm going to be a fan of something that is similar to basketball, but at the same time, the way that they chose to play defense was bothering me a little bit. I understand, like, the physicality, like, you have to... Eventually, you defend it by pushing them outside of the circle, right?
Yeah. Or just knocking the ball out of their hands.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, then, like, I get trying to physically take them out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, neither of the Ashleys were using their length or, like, their feet at all for this. Like, they weren't, like... Especially because it's, like, not anywhere near as high as a basketball. Like, all you have to do is, like, put your arms up or out. Like, you have to make yourself bigger so that you can contest shots better. And they didn't do that at all. It bothers me. It's like, it would have been so much... Like, you wouldn't have to put someone in a headlock and take them down.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But if you're just guarding the barrel, then they can just, like, come up behind you and, like, dunk it in around your waist.
Well, no, they can't. You're using your length.
I mean, I guess, but what if you're playing defense using your length?
I'm saying I think that should be your first tack, and then you go like try and tackle them or whatever.
Well,
if they manage to find a way to beat you or get past you, then you tackle them.
What if the person on offense tackles the person who's using their length to play defense, and then they just shoot the ball, they dunk the ball, and it's in.
Well, if they tackle them, you're both going to be down on the ground, so...
It's okay. The person can be on the ground. The ball just can't... You can't lose possession of the ball.
They're not going to dunk the ball when they're on the ground.
Well, maybe. But they can get up, like, if
are they going to do the Michael Jordan and Space Jam thing where their arm extends?
Exactly. They're going to Inspector Gadget their arm so that they can tackle the other person and then also dunk the ball at the same time.
Whatever. I'm obviously very biased towards a certain type of thing there, like, I get. Anyway, okay, so, Ashley K starts out and gets the first point pretty easily.
Yep. And then Ashley M goes, and she lands the ball on the rim, and then, her and the other Ashley are, like, fighting on the floor, and Ashley K tries to knock the ball away from the barrel, but instead actually knocks it into the barrel.
Yep.
And then she thinks that she won herself a point, even though she was playing defense.
Yeah, it's an own goal.
It's an own goal.
Who on the champs team was like, Ashley M's the weakest player, so...
I believe it was Jordan.
She heard him say that.
She heard him say that.
And got pissed off and was, like, super aggressive the next couple of times. And it worked.
Yep. So, at her last chance to score the point, if she scores, she wins, she's not eliminated. She doesn't, like, there's no physical, there's nothing physical with this run.
Yeah.
She just, like, takes a step back and then, like, arches the ball and it she makes the shot and she wins. So, Ashley K eliminated again with very few scenes together.
Yep.
Oh, Ashley K was on, I know you don't care about this, but you might. Her original season was the same as Zach's season. You remember Zach?
Yes.
He dated Jenna. They also dated Ashley and Zach season of that. So, you know, that's pretty fun. And then Ashley disappeared. And then Zach was around for a while and dated Jenna. And then he disappeared also. But now he's back. Not on this season, though.
Cool. Good.
So then it's Lolo and Tia's turn. But before they start, Lindsay interrupts Victor and asks if she can take Tia's place. And that's the end of the episode. To be continued, as they say. So we'll be back next week with more Champs vs. Pros. Here's the thing about our hashtag. Last week, what did we do? Surge on Surge?
We did Surge on Survivor, but then
it evolved.
We came up with the idea for Surge in the Morning, so...
Yeah. So, Serge Ibaka, too busy to be on Survivor, he's working on Surge in the Morning.
I think we just need to focus any Serge Ibaka-based efforts on Surge in the Morning,
I think that's probably a good idea. It's real windy. So, new hashtag, Luis Basil on Survivor. Let's get Louise Hazel on Survivor and then get her to get down on one knee and propose to Thomas.
Yes.
And Thomas, your answer would be?
I do.
You would say I do when she proposes to you?
Yes. And then we would immediately be married.
That's a good point. I don't know why people
prolong engagement. People don't tell you that's how it works, but it is.
It's like, as soon as you say I do to your fiance, you're married. That's just how it works. I went to a wedding last night, I know. So if you're just like, hey, fiance of mine, we've been engaged for 3 weeks. Do you want some toast this morning?
Do you hate pineapple on pizza?
I do. Damn it. We're married now. I didn't even get the ring yet.
The old ball and chain.
Mm-hmm. You can follow us on Twitter at DYWSLN. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Shidell. You can follow Thomas on Twitter at TomNotTom.
Trying to protect the microphone from this wind.
Yeah, there's a lot of wind up here.
Yeah, follow me at TomNotTom. You should email us.
Did you watch last night at gmail.com?
Yep.
If you email us, remember to sign it. Your pal Jeff Probst.
Yep.
Give us a 5-star review on iTunes because you love wind-based podcasts.
Give us a 5-star review. Give Micros Podcast a 1-star review.
I'll allow that one. Yeah, give his podcast a 1-star review because it's bad and boring. And
sorry, give whose?
You know who.
No, who though?
Voldemort. That's his name.
You must not be named, Micro.
Well, here's the thing. Like, when you download his podcast, you have to accept the rules of his podcast, which are to be bored out of your mind.
Oh, all right. Well,
it's not a democracy, his podcast.
No, it's not.
All right. Well, we're outside first weekend after Memorial Day, which is summertime. So I think it's a good time to say.
No, it's not. That's not when summer happens.
Summer starts at Memorial Day.
No, summer starts at the summer solstice. It's not until, like, the 20th.
You're a fucking nerd. No, it's... Memorial Day is the first weekend. Memorial Day weekend is the first weekend of summer. Labor Day is the last weekend of summer.
Neither of those things are true.
You grew up in Michigan. You should know this. You still live in Michigan. You should know this. That's why no one goes to school after Memorial Day.
You have the right window of time. It's just all. It's off by like 2 weeks.
No, summer starts Friday 5 o'clock after. Yeah. If you're an adult, 5 o'clock on Friday.
Summer starts because it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And speaking of summer, have a great summer.
Have a great one. Deuces.
We've been on the run, driving in the sun, looking out for number one. California, here we come, right back where we started from. Oh, hustlers, grab your guns, your shadow weighs a ton, driving down the 101. California, here we come, right back where we started from. California. Nothing's gonna stop me now. California, here we come, right back where we started from. A pedal to the floor, thinking of the war, gotta get us to the show. California, here we come, right back where we started from. California.
Wearing white pants on Memorial Day. That's how it's measured.
Yeah.
No, it's
summer. You stop wearing white pants on Memorial
okay.
Day.
Okay. Yep. I will concede summer, the official season, starts on June 22nd or whatever. summertime
starts
Memorial Day
weekend.
That's
not what you said. It's the same. It's the same.
You're
thing.
Moving the goalposts on this one, dude.
Where?
It was on your backpack.
Oh, no. Is it inside now?
Yeah, it's inside. Ooh. It's laying eggs.
Uh-oh. I hope they all die.
Yeah, that backpack is a spider's backpack.
I have things in there. I guess I don't need them. All right. Well, that's fine.
Can my voice be Jingles?